the San Francisco Bay Area. It's time for Live from the Bay with Joey. Joey's guest today is Tippi Hedren, well-known star of that 1960s film classic, The Bird, as well as Marnie. Here's Joey.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Live from the Bay with Joey. We've got with us the New York fashion model that was making her debut as an actress in the starring role as The Birds. Of course, this is 50 years for Marnie, 51 for The Birds, and then The Countess from Hong Kong with Marlon Brando, Sophia Loren, directed by Chaplin, the three films back-to-back, and between over 20 films, numerous television appearances, she's been involved in a wide variety of humanitarian and environmental causes, almost overshadowing her screen work. And perhaps Tippi Hedren's most unique endeavor is being the den mother and close friend to 60-odd big cats, lion, tiger, leopards, cougars, servals, and African elephant at the Roar Foundation Shambhala Preserve. I hope I'm saying that right, or Shambhala Preserve near Acton, California. The High Desert Game Preserve is home to the felines and was first established as an African-type set for the motion picture Roar, which Tippi co-produced and starred in with her daughter, film actress Melanie Griffith. So without further ado, we're going to try to reach Tippi right now. So hang on. And here we go.
Hello.
Hi, Tippi. It's Joey. You are live right now with Live from the Bay with Joey. So we welcome you once again.
Well,
how
thank
are you?
You. I'm well, thank you. And we're having summer down here, you know.
Yeah, we had summer up here in Northern California today. I was really quite elated. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
70 degrees.
Isn't
so
that
was it
beautiful?
Was it about the same down there where you're at?
Actually, I think it was probably maybe just a few degrees warmer, but just beautiful.
Nice.
It's been amazing.
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, you know, the last time you were on with us back in May, we talked about your career, which we're going to touch on now a little bit. And then we also talked about your preserve down in the high desert. I think it's close to Acton, California. Is that right?
Acton, yes.
Acton, California? Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And so we'll touch a little bit on that as well. So last year you celebrated 50 years, is it, with from when you first appeared in The Birds? Is that right?
Yeah, you know, that film has a life of its own, honestly.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. And it's such fun for new generations to see it, and they all
absolutely
love it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and this year is the 50th anniversary of Marnie, who my co-star was, Sean Connery.
Right. So you've had two big movies back-to-back, and I don't know if you recall, but let's go back to The Birds, when it first came out, I was too small, really. I think I might have been about, what was year was that?
Oh,
1960?
Thank you for saying that.
Well, no, I'm just saying, no. I'm just saying that I don't remember, that was 1963, right? Is that right?
It came out in 64.
Well, and
64,
so,
I think it came out, 63.
Yeah, so, you know, so I was really young. I was about 3 years old, but I did watch a few years later, I watched the reruns of that, and I think I might have mentioned this to you. Every time I saw Alfred Hitchcock announcing the movies, you know, I would get in front of the TV and I would turn the channel until he was off, and then I would watch the movie. And that movie so impressed me that for years I could not every time I heard Birds, I would flip out. You know, I just couldn't be around it.
Good.
And then I would think, oh, my God, is there going to be a flock like in the movie The Birds? And then Yeah, and then I remember my parents taking me to that area where that where you filmed in, I believe,
in Bodega Bay.
And I remember just cringing because it made such an impact on me with the birds and the sounds. And, of course, it wasn't like that when we got there. But,
well,
let's
hope not, yeah.
Yeah, but it was such a great, great movie. So you've had really a great career. And then
that was my first film, you know.
Right,
birds.
Right.
Yeah.
And then Marnie followed that, and and then, like I said, like I was telling people, you have done over, what is it, probably well over 20 films, right, since you started?
Oh, no, it's over 50. It's over 50.
Oh, my gosh. Over 50.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, over 50. So that's phenomenal, and, you know, great career, and you still look young, very happy, and you're doing a wonderful work.
Thank you.
A really great work with, let's talk a little bit about what you have at your preserve down in where you live, and let's tell a little bit about it, how it came about. For those that may not have heard our first show, tell us a little bit about how you started this, how caring for big cats and for animals, really, and ones that really deserve the respect that they really warrant, and not being locked away somewhere. Let's talk a little bit about that, and then maybe we can touch on a bill that you were involved in. I know you were involved in one that got passed years ago, but a recent one and one that's coming up, I think, here this year in 2014, so we can touch on that as well. Does
well,
it sound good?
We'll do more than that. Yeah, these are bills that I co-authored and am very thrilled to say that the first bill, the Captive Wildlife Safety Act, which I co-authored in 2003, which was to stop the interstate traffic of lions and tigers, was passed unanimously in the House and Senate, and President Bush signed it on December 19th of 2003.
That's awesome.
So I feel, it is not easy to get a bill passed, you know.
No, it's not.
Not at all. And the one that I'm working on now is to stop the breeding of lions and tigers to be sold as pets. And that bill is titled Big Cats and Public Safety Protection Act. And it was introduced by my own congressman, Buck McKeon. I co-authored that bill as well. And it is now in committee. It's been introduced in the House and the Senate. And so now we have to wait for Congress to get its act together in Washington to get it to the floor to be voted on.
So if I understand correctly, so that's a bipartisan bill entitled the H.R. 4122 and S.3547 Big Cats and Public Safety Protection Act.
No, the numbers now are 19 in the House it's 1998 and in the Senate it's 1381.
Okay, so those numbers change. Okay, and so again, it's hopefully we're hoping that it'll be passed this year, right? We're hoping.
Oh God, it has to be. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so important. These big cats are not pets, and they shouldn't be born in the United States to be somebody's pet or in the shows and all of those kinds of things. I mean, it's just, they're apex predators, top of the food chain, one of four of the most dangerous animals in the world, and our government looks on it as a business.
Which
is
right.
Extremely serious and dangerous.
Right.
I mean, I mean, there have been 21 deaths since 1990 because of these animals, 246 maulings, 254 escapes, 143 big cats killed because of all of this, and 128 big cats confiscations. Mm. And they're born in so many of the states because there are no federal laws. There's nothing unilateral that goes right across the United States. 29 states have good laws, and 21 states have no laws governing ownership of big cats. Now, this is so dangerous.
Absolutely dangerous. Now, one thing that we didn't tap on last time, I'm just wondering what your opinion is. What about these cats that are part of traveling circuses, right, throughout the United States?
You know, and that's they're one of my biggest problems because they have so much money. You know, they've been trying to, Kenneth Feld, who owns Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey, is accusing me of trying to take his family business away, which has always been to have these wild animals in the circus, and they are brutal to these animals to train them to do the stupid tricks that they have to do. I mean, they're totally against everything that these animals do in the wild. You know, when you look at the elephants. When you look
go
at
ahead.
The elephants and seeing an elephant sitting up, standing on its head, doing a dance routine, how demeaning for that animal. And they have to be beaten into doing those tricks.
Okay.
And with the lions and the tigers being in those rings with the cracking whips and the training sessions that they have are just cruel and unusual punishment. It's just awful. I am so hoping that your audience will take this seriously and not go to a circus if it has animals in it.
Right. Well, that was my question to you because we're not privy to that information. So I wanted to know what type of, you know, cruelty. Now, of course, beating these animals is just terrible. I mean, that would be like putting a human in a cage and beating them to do stupid tricks, right?
Absolutely.
To stand on your head and to do. Nobody would like that. And these animals deserve the same type of respect that we deserve as human beings. You know, they're creatures.
Joey, what needs to be done is ban the breeding of these animals in captivity completely.
Mm-hmm.
They don't belong here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the fact that they are apex predators is enough. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, their job out in the wild is the reason you never see old animals, sick animals, lame animals, because it's their job to take out all of those animals, take them out, and they have their dinner at the same time. It makes the wilds pristine and clean. But these are the animals that do that. This is they have no conscience gene. You know, they don't have a forgiveness gene. I mean, they don't have, they are killers.
Right.
That's what their job is.
Right.
You know, and I'll tell you, this reverts over to humans as well. You know, when Roy Horn was hurt on stage by the tiger, Montecore, I know that tiger. Roy, and they tried to put a spin on this whole thing that, oh, Montecore was trying to help Roy off stage. Montecore knew that Roy had a stroke on stage. And it was his instinctual genetic dictate to say, sorry, Roy, I know you raised me you fed me with a bottle. You took care of me. We swam in the pools together. You taught me how to do all those things on stage. But you know what? You're sick, and I've got to take you out. And he took Roy by the neck and whipped him around like a rag doll.
Wow. Yeah. I wonder what his fear. Have you had a chance to talk to him since then at all?
Oh, sure. Yes, I have.
Since the accident?
Yes, I have, and
so
he
how
has
has
had to
changed?
Go through.
I just wonder how it's changed his view and his life on these animals.
Well, you know, something is never the animal's fault. It's ours.
Well, it is
we
our fault.
We are putting these animals in that position to be able to do these things that are normal for them.
Absolutely.
Perfectly
but I mean,
natural to them.
Right. But do you think, I don't follow their career at all, but I'm just wondering, do you think that this has completely changed the way that they believe now and working with animals like this? Has it changed their
Roy would never be able to work with him again because he's not physically. They'd take
able.
Him out.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
No, he knows he would be very foolish to go on with that again.
Mm-hmm. You know, what you say is so, I mean, I wish people would just understand. You know, I don't think people really get it sometimes. When you start playing with Mother Nature and you start playing with things that are not meant to be played with, we put ourselves in danger and we start messing with things that we shouldn't.
Yes.
You know, it's not fair to an animal, and it's really not fair to you as a human being to do this. And you know where I'm going to go with this now. I'm talking about people that are breeding also domestic cats with wild cats.
Mm-hmm.
And they're selling them for like $5,000.
Tens of thousands of dollars.
Tens of thousands of dollars.
Yes, they are.
And what's really sad about this is, like, to your point, which you said the last time, was this. When you breed a domestic with a wild, what do you get? And the final
well,
result...
You get kind of a monster because they are genetically not the same.
Right.
And there'll be all kinds of problems just because of that.
Absolutely.
And the wild will be dominant over the domestic, and they'll be as dangerous as if they were purebred.
Right. I don't think people really get it. I mean, when you're playing around with something like this, it's terrible. I mean, it's just really It's not a good thing. I knew somebody that used to have just cats at home. I actually think one of them must have been part wild, obviously. And I just saw the way that cat was treated by this individual, and I thought, you know, one of these days, that cat is just going to claw you and bite you.
It's going to hurt him.
What happened was that cat did turn on this person and absolutely just clawed her and hurt her and bit her and then they look at it and they go, oh, it's a cat. Well, not really, because you have put this cat in this position and then you've mistreated it. And so I think the work that you're doing, I mean, I think, how many big cats do you have at your preserve?
Oh, right now we only have, 38.
38, and that's quite a bit.
Yeah, but in the 80s we had 150 big cats here.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, but I don't know if you remember in the 80s when they had the safari parks, where you could drive through and see all the wild animals. Well, those places were so expensive to keep, and eventually they ran out of money, and they all of a sudden we were getting 12 big cats at a time coming in from these parks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, not that long ago, probably about 10 years ago, I had the opportunity to go down to, I went out to Florida, and Disney has a park out there that's kind of like a safari park. And at first I thought, you know, this is kind of cool. This is interesting. But I remember leaving and I was really bothered. And I thought, you know, would I really want to be some kind of freak in some kind of park where people are taking, you know, they're being guided and it's really, they're kind of not allowing these animals to be free. And I was thinking, gosh, how horrible that would be. And really what you're doing really now is to provide them a home, an environment where they can roam freely, that it's obviously protected, but it's not putting these poor animals in a really bad place, and that's a wonderful thing. With that being said, obviously it's very costly to run something like this, I'm sure. And that's a
big...
Oh,
Joey, I'm going through absolute hell trying to keep it going. I have to raise $75,000 every month to keep the Shambhala Preserve going. And as you know, it's so hard right now with this economy. And every 501c3, and we are that, of course, is complaining about the... you know, the diminishing numbers of the amounts of donations, and the problem is that we serve between 400 and 500 pounds of meat a day, and I mean that's just the food. I mean, and they're not in little cages here; they're in huge areas.
Right.
Some of them are 3/4 acre, 1/2 acre. A 1/4 acre, and you know, we're giving them the best life we can, and we are the ones who are picking up all of the mistakes of other people when they buy these animals and they can't take care of them, and and our government doesn't help.
That's sad.
There's
now
no
that,
help
that,
from our government.
Now, why is that?
I wish I knew. I wish I knew, but they think of it as a big business, and that's what I'm bucking with this bill.
Well, a big business.
And there
How could
so
it be a big
many people
business?
Who are. No, but there's so many people who are making their living with breeding these animals, and they breed the little lions and tigers, and they take them away from their mothers, you know, upon birth, so that they don't the little cubs can't imprint on their mothers, so they won't be wild. I mean, it's so sick. It's absolutely sick.
I wonder, you know, I'm wondering, do we have any stats on how many people would have these as pets?
I mentioned to you before that there are 21 states that have no laws, which means there is no way for us to get a bead on how many of these animals are being bred all the time, you know, to be sold as a pet or for financial gain. There's no way we can.
That is okay. So what state is closest to California that does not have a law that protects these? I just want to know to make sure that I don't go there.
Yeah.
I mean,
I wish I had that map with me right now.
Well, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'm just wondering.
Yeah.
I mean, this is serious stuff because, you know, these, you know, like Tippy has been saying, for the last 15, 20 minutes, I mean, this is serious stuff. And they cannot be in a place where, they're not meant to be treated this way. They're not meant to be housed, you know, in a home with people or in their backyard or whatever. Sometimes I think people just like to do things that are just very... I don't know for what purpose they want to do it. Maybe they want for bragging rights or what have you.
It's kind of a status symbol. Lion. I have a tiger. You know, and
exactly.
There's no reason for that. And people do not look into what kind of pet they're going to get, whether it's a dog or you know whatever kind of pet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many people do you know when they say, "Oh, let's go get a dog. Let's go get a puppy." How many of them say, "Well, ask that wherever they're going. Is this a lap dog? Is it a hunting dog? How big is it going to get? How much is it going to eat? How much exercise does it need?" They don't ask any of those questions. And all of a sudden, they're bringing him back to the pound, saying, "I didn't know he was going to get so big. I didn't know he'd eat this much." And you know that. Well, that's what they do when they see this adorable, darling little cub.
Say,
"Oh, I have to have one." Well, within a year, that cub can take a pretty good chunk out of you.
Oh, absolutely,
you know,
absolutely.
There is nothing good about having a lion or a tiger as a pet. Not one good thing about it. And it's brutal to the animal.
It is brutal. You know, it's sad to me. I'm going to tell you, these are my thoughts. These are Joey thoughts. It's sad to me that we as a nation can go to these circus, these places, these big circuses that come through town, and we will go and think, oh, this is wonderful and this is just great, and we'll support it, and we will give our money, and we'll just, you know. And yet these animals are being mistreated, and so we're supporting this. And yet yourself and some others that are saying, you know what, we want to put an end to this, and we want to provide them a safe haven, a place where they'll be safe, where they'll be fed, where they can roam, not caged in, but it's a safe place, and that you have to struggle financially. I mean, to see something is wrong there. Something is terribly wrong, you know? And there should be, I mean, how have you been, I know that, you know, there have been donations, but I mean, $75,000 a month, well, let's do the math on that, you know.
It's $1 million a year.
Yeah, I mean, how have you been able to do this? And this has been...
You know something? I don't know. This is including my own. I have never taken any money for any of the work that I've done, for the Shambhala Preserve and rescuing these big cats. Never, even when we were doing the movie that started this whole thing, in the 70s, I never, when we were doing the movie, I kept putting my salary back into the film, you know. So I, you know, and I have no money. When I was doing the Birds and Marnie and all of that, I made $600 a week. And you know what? It's all gone.
Right.
It's gone.
Right. Right.
And everybody thinks, oh, she's done all these movies. She's rich. And I'm not.
Right.
I'm not.
Right.
I'm not rich at all. I live in a little mobile home on the on the preserve.
Right. Well,
it's
Right. Yeah, you know, you're doing a great work, and there should be people that that are just there to support you. And folks, why don't you let people know, too, right now, because we're going to talk about this again, but let them know how they can support you.
Well, we have... you can look up our website, shambhala.org, for organization, and we have all of the different programs that you can support. We definitely accept large donations so that we can build new compounds, and because a lot of them have to be done over. I've been doing this for 42 years now, and... And the prices just go up. We just finished one compound that's 3/4 of an acre, and it was $100,000.
My gosh.
I mean, that's because of all the safety precautions to keep the animals safe and us safe. It's huge. The whole thing is absolutely huge, what we do here. And the donations are so important, and you know, we really literally can't survive without that.
Right.
And I think
it's important for people to understand this. So, like Tippi said, you know, she's not making any profit off of this, folks. So if you
there is no profit in this business.
Right.
No,
right.
It is,
I'm going to challenge people out there. I want, you know, if you are somebody that loves to take your kids and your family to these big circuses that come through town and what have you, and your big supporters, I would just say, you know what, why don't you take that money that you would normally take for a circus, or, you know, if you go on a monthly bet, whatever, you know, and why don't you send it over to Tippi's foundation? Why don't you send that to this foundation that's really helping these animals and not endangering it and not creating cruel situations for them where they're hurt and where they're beat up and to do tricks. I mean, nobody wants to do tricks. You know, I mean, that's like putting can you imagine putting human beings in a cage and making them jump up and down and do really ridiculous things? Nobody would like that. And I'm sure that these animals do not like that. And because of their instinct, et cetera.
No, they don't. And when they can, they will rebel and they'll hurt the trainers. And it's been known to happen over and over again.
Oh, time and time again. Right, right. So what is, I'm looking at this figure and $1 million per year for just to support, you know, there's got to be a way that people out there can join forces and really, and it will be frustrating for anybody that has a preserve like this with the amount of money that you have to, you have to have per month. That must be frustrating. Like you said, you know, there are people that are going through hard times. But at the same time, there are people in areas like in where I live in the San Francisco Bay Area, where you have a lot of high-tech, you have a lot of dot-coms. You have this is a drop in the bucket for many of them, you know?
Yeah,
you know, I just wonder if, you know, I'm just throwing this out. I don't know if you've even thought about it or if, you know, if this has even come up. But I'm wondering if any of these big executives from any of these big dot-com and, you know, companies all over the San Francisco Bay Area that are doing very well, that have no problem with dropping millions, can just reach out and help you out. I mean, I think it would be wonderful. And again, it would be a tax. Wouldn't it be a tax write-off for these people?
Of course it is. Yes, of course it is.
Yeah. So you know, I mean, I don't know if you've ever even thought about, approaching some of these people. But you know,
Of course I do. Of course I do. And as you know, it all depends on the name that you get to for the person who has control of the money.
Oh yeah,
but you know, you know what is interesting about this is that I am literally trying to put ourselves out of business by getting this bill to stop the breeding of these animals to be sold as a pet, for the lions and tigers to be sold as a pet. I'm hoping that this bill will get passed, and within the next it'll take 20 years from when the bill is passed and enforced. Because the lifespan of these animals, of the lions and tigers, in captivity is approximately 20 years, if they're well taken care of. And so I am expecting that after this bill is passed, that Shambhala will have to be in place for another 20 years. I'm not asking for money for the perpetuity of everybody's lives. I so want to see this end.
Right.
So there doesn't have to be places like the Shambhala Preserve, and that these animals don't have to suffer through the hideous treatment that they have. I mean, some of these animals are living in such hovels and horrible situations because people don't know what they're getting when they're buying a lion or a tiger. They can't handle it, and it's absolutely horrific. Some of the stories of the animals that come in here, we had a lion who was living in a basement outside of Branson, Missouri. We had a black leopard who came from Texas. They paid $6,000 for him. They brought him to a beautiful place in Newport Beach, beautiful home. But as that little cub, you know, it was like a little black kitten. As he grew, he was scratching the lady's satin sofas and chewing her Jimmy Choo shoes. So she put him in a closet, and that's where he lived for
a
couple of years. In a closet.
In a closet,
and the husband would come home and take him out and put great leather gauntlets up to his shoulders and wrestle with the cat, teaching him, this is how you treat humans. That's what that cat was learning. And when they were finally convinced to bring the cat here, he came in a zippered clothes bag in the trunk of his car. His name is Boo, and he's still with us. He's 22 years old now.
Wow.
He's still here.
And now,
it was close to 4 years before he wouldn't come flying at the fence every time he saw us. I mean, that's just those are just two of the stories that have come in here.
Now,
it is
tragic. Did the former owners come and visit at all?
No, of course not.
No, of course not.
You know, when Michael Jackson decided never to come back to Neverland.
Uh huh.
Remember that? In I think it was 06?
Right.
He asked his veterinarian to find the best homes for his two tigers, Sabu and Thriller, and they were brought here.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we built a $75,000 compound for them, and do you know that we never ever heard from Michael Jackson saying, "Are the tigers okay? Can I send you some money? Can I help in any way?"
Are you serious?
Nothing.
Oh my God.
Nothing. We even called. We even sent an invitation to his mother, who was taking care of his children, to bring his kids here to see the tigers that they had, you know, known up in Neverland. And we sent the T-shirts of Sabu and Thriller on them and never heard from them. Never.
Wow.
I think it is unconscionable to me.
That's just that. That blows my mind. I mean, especially somebody like him with the amount of money that he had. That's just...
Never to even call and say, are they okay? Are they doing all right? But at least they had a huge compound, much bigger than they did at Neverland. And they had to have the lake to swim in, so... They're happy.
Now, are they still around, or have they passed?
Sabu is. Thriller died of cancer 2 years ago.
Wow. And, you know, I was just thinking earlier, you know, we're talking about the feeding, how expensive that is, maintenance. But I'm sure nobody even imagines when one of these passes on. That's costly, I'm sure. That's not just something that, you know, they just disappear. I'm sure that there's a cost involved there as well.
Of course.
You know, so, I mean, I think that people really need to wake up. This is really, this stuff is just really...
thank you, Joey. I appreciate this.
Well, no, I mean, people need to wake up and realize... So is there anything... People can support you financially, and we talked about
that
again.
That would be fabulous.
That would be a wonderful thing. And then, is there anything else people can do for your cause?
Yes, you can write to your legislators, and write. And on our website, I have all of the information about the bill, Big Cats and Public Safety Protection Act, which is. For the House, it's 1998, and it's the same title for the Senate, which is 1381.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Richard Blumenthal introduced it in the Senate, and my own Congressman Buck McKeon introduced it in the House again this year.
Mm-hmm. So again, I want to let people know what these links are. So it's www.shambala.org. And so this is really where people can...
And I've also included four or five sample letters that you can use as either use those letters to send to your legislators, to your senators, and... congressman, or you can pick pieces from each letter or whatever. Just don't make it too long. They don't have a lot of time to read.
Right. So these things would help your cause.
Yes, it would. Our voices are so important, but they're only important if we use them.
Right. Well, I'm going to tell you, and I can't stress enough, people, if you think somebody else is going to do it for you, think again. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You need to be able to say, you know what, I want to help make a difference. You know, I want to be a support for Tippi. I want to make sure that this stops. Because really, that's what it takes. It takes people to step up and say, you know, I'm going to help make a difference. If you're going to sit
Joey,
back and
you're absolutely right. Yes.
Well, I mean, that's it reality.
We all have a voice, and our voice is so important, but it's only important if you use it.
Right. So I'm hoping that the people that are listening today, the people that are going to hear reruns of this, if you're out there and you work for a .com or you know that you can donate quite a bit of money towards what Tippi's doing, towards this preserve, towards the great work that they're doing, there's nothing, I mean, outside of her doing this out of the generosity of her heart and wanting to put an end to all these escapades that have been going along, you know, like with the circuses and these people that are housing these animals in their homes.
And the
like
breeders.
That unfortunate story, and the breeders, the unfortunate story that we heard about that that black cat that was placed in a closet for 2 years, how horrible that is. You know, folks, I would just urge you to just do something out of the generosity of your heart. And you know what? You don't even need to. You can do this anonymously too, right?
We
can. But if you're able to say, you know what, I want to partner with Tippi and I want to help her make a difference, then I would urge you, if you're hearing this live, if it's in rerun mode and you're hearing this months from now, a year from now, it doesn't matter. Just get on there and support her cause, that bill. She's giving you all the tools on there. And then realize what she's speaking about. And realize that when you go and you attend a circus, though it may look all fun and games, really those animals are being put through quite a bit. And
you know,
realize,
and Joey, mm-hmm. Joey, the circuses have so much money, and they have such a huge PR department. They
mm-hmm.
will tell you that these animals are so happy in the circus; they just love it. And when you see the elephants bobbing up and down their heads, it's because they're happy. It's because they are about to go crazy.
And right, I can imagine.
All of these lies that they will tell you about how happy these animals are, and it is, it's all lies.
Well, I can tell you this, having been for years, having been in the medical field, pharmaceutical field, and having dealt with psych medication, I can tell you just on the human side, when you enclose people, and you start dictating to them what they can do and what they can't do, and you say, you can only do this at a certain time. And believe me, there are plenty of people in America and outside of America and Canada and throughout Europe and God knows where else that are in relationships with people that their mate, their partner, their wife, their husband, whomever, is dictating to them when they can breathe, when they can't, when they can eat, when they can go to the bathroom, when they can do this, you know, do this for me, do that for me. I am telling you, as God is my testimony, I told a friend this not that long ago. I said, your psych can only take so much, and then it will snap. And I'm telling you, just as we have a psych, these animals that are God's creation have a psych as well. They have a brain. They can only take so much. And if you put more on them than they can take, they are going to snap. And you never know when that will be.
That
and
is
so
absolutely
true,
Joey.
Yeah, and I'm just urging people to really think about this, think about the severity of it, and think about even in small numbers we have now, people that we have breeders that are breeding these Savannah cats and what have you. There are cats that are part domestic and part wild, and you think, oh, how cute. And they're just, and then they grow up to be this 45-pound cat that people are walking down the street on a leash. and you're like, that kind of looks kind of odd. And then when these cats start biting the family members,
mm-hmm.
and when they start tearing up their house, and then they start killing animals on their farm, and we're, you know, at that point, they're like, uh-oh, this is, now where are we going to take these cats? Do we euthanize? You know, what happens to now these cats? So we've got a big problem on our hands, and what Tiffy's trying to do is a great work. Folks, you need to support her cause. So I would just urge you once again to get on her website. And like she said before, she's giving you all the tools there. You can help make a difference in what she is doing. I mean, we spend so much money trying to be entertained. And again, if, you know, an animal, you know, a cat, these big cats are beautiful to look at. But let them be where they're supposed to be. I mean, the next time
mm-hmm.
you see something like this, think about, would you like yourself or your family members to be locked up in a cage and to be told when you can do this and when you can't, and then they would give you some kind of a little treat for your little act? You wouldn't like it. By the same token,
mm-hmm.
these cats need that type of respect. So that's what she's trying to do. This is what the bill is trying. We want to stop what's going on now that's really gotten out of control, and it's serious. You may be in a state that this is legal, you know, and you may not think it's that serious, but I'm going to tell you, if one of those cats gets loose, it is serious. It's
you
very
bet it
serious.
Is.
So, again,
you, know,
you need
there's
to... Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Joey, these animals are born to be in captivity. They are
right.
born to be incarcerated. And
right.
it's the only thing they did wrong was be born in captivity.
Right.
That's the only thing they did wrong. And they
right.
suffer for the rest of their lives.
And that's really, I mean, it's very sad. You know, if we can understand it and we can understand the fact that they're no different than we are in the sense that they deserve the same type of respect and life, and their life is not meant to be chained and placed in a little cage, nor is
yeah.
our life. And if you really care about, you know, you care about mankind in whatever shape or form, you know, and you care about animals, then you will do what we're telling you. Support Tippi. Support her work. So, again, her website is www.shambala.org. And I know there's plenty of people in this good old United States and Canada and outside and certain areas of the United States that can support by writing a large check. You know, I mean, to me, what may be a lot of money to Tippi and to other people and to myself, maybe a drop in the bucket to somebody else, and they can just write a check and support her work. And it's that simple.
Yeah, this,
and you get a write-off.
And this is all done through the Roar Foundation, which I founded in 1983, and that's spelled
okay.
R-O-A-R, like the lion's roar.
Right.
And so I hope that when you can come down to see how these animals are living and see the, you know, hear about the incredibly wonderful food that they eat that has been created by a zoological veterinarian. And you see a uniform health with our animals. And one of our veterinarians said, Tippi, you know what the problem with all of you at Shambala is, you humans? You take such good care of these animals, they live too long.
Well, you know, I mean,
sort
you're doing... Yeah. Well, and the
and
lifespan...
And the areas in which they live, we try to give them some sense of a life that is not in jail.
Right.
We move them from one compound to another every now and then, so they
right.
have a different... you know, a different body of water to play in, a different neighbor, a different, you know. So it's
well,
a
I'm sure they're
place.
Very grateful. I'm sure they're very grateful.
I hope so. I hope so, but they are lions and they are tigers, and you can never take that away from them. I don't know if gratitude, if the gratitude gene is there, but they seem to be content, and that's the best thing.
Well, if their friends are hanging out at circuses and doing all these tricks and being beat up, I'm sure the gratitude. I'm sure they're thankful for what you have provided for them. So again, folks, really do your best to support her, and then go on her site, as she said, and she's provided you some tools to really help get your voice out there and your support. And I wish you the very, very best on this bill coming up. I'm hoping that absolutely, Gosu. And thank you so much for your time this evening and joining us once again. And we look forward to hearing some great things. And I'm looking forward to the day that I'll be able to get down there. So,
well, only you can do that, Joey, and it's easy.
I know.
Okay.
I know.
Okay, all right.
Okay, Tippy.
Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us. And folks, again, really, I can't stress enough, just make sure you, you know, go on to her website, www.shambala.org. So www.shambala.org. And till the next time, we thank Tippy for joining us once again. Until the next time, this is Joey saying take care.
Thank you for joining us today on Live from the Bay with Joey.